listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hello folks, welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 27th of February. Good evening to everybody, loads of people logging in on the chat room, great to see it. Now my guests on the show tonight are Liam and Kim from Lifeforce and the Urenda Group. So there's going to be a little change in the format tonight. Normally I go to some of the day-to-day news and things that have happened during the week and then I bring the guest in. But tonight is going to be more of a round table because we have a plethora of questions that have come in from people and we're going to be tied up probably most of the interview with answering the questions and having a chat about them and, you know, bits and pieces. And I'm sure there's going to be questions coming in over the chat room as well. So we're going to have to get through all of them and we'll do our best to do that. But before we get there, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website circleofwhitelight.com. Also, the new domain name, because people have said it to me in the past, why don't you have circleofwhitelightradio.com? I now have circleofwhitelightradio.com. And if you click on that, it'll bring you over to the website as well. So that's there. So that's being set up. I mentioned last week about the big transfer of hosting accounts. And I had to transfer a number of websites. Circle of White Light was one of them as well. And it's a bit of a kind of, you know, techie thing to sort out because you're dealing with things in the background like SSLs and databases and stuff like that. But I'm glad to see everything seems to be working fine. Although we had a little bit of a glitch with the stream a few minutes before going live. So hopefully it just behaves itself. But if you do have a problem with the Cowl stream, pop over to the OIM stream because we're streaming on there as well. Okay, now, just to give people an update, communication channels, yeah, the chat room is there. People are logging into the chat room. That's fantastic. If you want to email Circle of White Light, you can email at contactus@circleofwhitelight.com. If you want to support us, go over to patreon.com/COWLR. And you can go over there and support us. Or if you want to make a donation, just PayPal on the website. Now, as most of you know, or the regular listeners know, and probably fed up hearing me saying it all the time, if you go over to the website and click on the Pay It Forward, what we do is we allocate some of the funding, or most of the funding from Circle of White Light, and Pay It Forward to worthy causes, to community groups and charities and things like that. Every month we do this. We try and do this every month. Obviously, it's very important to be transparent. So what we do is put all the information and the photos and the checks and everything else up on the website there. So if you pop over to Pay It Forward on the menu option on the website, you'll see all the groups that we've donated to over the last couple of years. Now, we started this in December 2019. And just to give you an update and everybody an update who donates, so far, we've donated €12,000 to worthy causes over the last 2 years, even over, you know, the COVID years. Even over that time, we were donating every month. And if you want to check it out, go over there. And this is people power, folks. This has nothing got to do with governments or anything like that. It's you donating €1 a month or €5 a month, wherever you can afford, to us. And we have a PIF team, which we call them the PIF team. It's the Pay It Forward team. And what we do is we get together twice a month and we have a talk about where the donation's going to go. We can allocate the actual the donation to. And there's been some great groups that have benefited from receiving some funds and are delighted with it. And this is what it's all about. It's people power. It's us coming together and helping each other. No governments, no politicians, just us. So a big thank you to everybody who donates to the Pay It Forward appeal and to Circle of White Light Radio. It really does make a change to people's lives, and I hope that continues. Okay, right, now, news update. Well, actually, I'm not going to do a news update because, as I say, this is going to be more of a roundtable format. And so I'm just going to read a little bio. Liam is involved with various arenda groups that have been set up to help with the restoration of the planet. This involves new technology and different farming methods. Liam has also been working with Kim regarding global energy changes. The guardian of global assets with the highest security clearance in the world at level 74, that's Kim, has been at the coalface helping to make global changes to help humanity move forward to a better world. Kim is also involved in the Global Restoration Project along with working with the Life Force teams. Good evening, guys. How are you?
Hey, Alan. Hi, Kim. Doing good.
You all right, Kim?
Hey, Alan.
Hey, good stuff. Listen,
great.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Hey.
Thanks a lot for coming on. You two, I know you two are talking all the time anyway. Listen, thanks a lot for coming on. It's great coming on and giving everybody an update as to what's going on. There's been a lot of changes, a lot of things going on in the background, loads of questions coming in, and people going, what's going on? And I have a list of questions here in front of me, and we're going to have to go through them. But before we get onto the questions, there's a couple of things that we need to clarify, obviously, regarding what happened recently regarding the assemblies and stuff like that. So is there anything that you two want to talk about or add before we get into that?
Sure. Want to go ahead, Liam?
Yeah, well, just I know Kim's already put some information out, but we very soon will go live with a new structure where we currently have a team of people in the background working on a new sort of foundation. They said the system we were having there, the assemblies, it wasn't working. It was also becoming dangerous for assembly members as well, given various different laws and things like that. So we're building something here that is going to be an entirely different structure. It'll fit everyone and every country and every culture, and accommodate existing groups as well. The assemblies are going to completely change. We're going to dissolve the assemblies as they are. It doesn't stop the people staying together as a group. But that wasn't working either. So there was too many problems there. Obviously, safety was a big issue. But the actual assemblies itself, there was, you know, to be honest, many problems with people wanted to be in certain positions and it wasn't working. There was so many disputes and things like that. So I just, you know, we decided let's have a look at a new structure. So we're building that. There's a team of people building this. Some very, very smart, very clever people. And these people will stay as quiet. We'll keep them as quiet as possible for as long as we can, just for their own safety. I'm part of that group. I don't mind myself being mentioned, but we're not going to mention anyone else in that group. And there's a lot of people coming into that group with, you know, really, really good skill sets, used to building structures. So we're going to have, you know, a one-stop place very soon, you know, the one website, one place for everyone to go to. And we're really going to focus initially on needs assessment, you know, so that's going to be the first thing we're asking all the assemblies or groups or, and just to define what a group is, that can be one individual or it can be a, you know, group of 5,000, doesn't really matter. So this allows everyone to have an equal voice, an equal say. So we'll probably run through what a needs assessment looks like in a little while, what we're expecting from that. There is going to be a lot of guidelines and a lot of tutorial videos that will come live very, very soon from the new website. So to allow people, but we're going to chat tonight a little bit about getting people to think differently, think a little bit with the bigger picture. We're getting focused on too many things that are in front of us and news about, you know, wars and this, that, and the next thing. There's a much, much bigger picture than that. So we'll come back to that very shortly, I'm sure.
Okay. And Kim, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, Liam's right. You know, the biggest issue that we had was the, you know, people were looking at ratifications as a reward in some cases. And in other cases, it was a fight over who's going to be in this position. There was a lot of talk about recreating things like Commonwealth and all of those things that haven't really worked and served us in the past. So I'm trying to refocus people on what's really, really important in our day-to-day lives.
Okay. And do you want to kind of comment on what your plan is going forward? If the assemblies haven't worked for, obviously there's a number of issues with the assemblies and that idea didn't work. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think in principle, the idea of getting people together and working together was, you know, a good idea. But it, obviously when you have egos and people wanting to climb the ladder and they love titles and stuff like that, and it's only natural to have that, you know, with people anyway. What's the actual plan moving forward? Have you thought about that, Liam or Kim? Do you want to?
Sorry, there you go, Kim.
I just wanted to stop for a second. And the assemblies will work. It's just not the first course of action. I mean, we have hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, of mistakes at the hands of the New World Order to correct, right? Every industry has to be looked at. Every single bit of your day-to-day life, how you brush your teeth, what you're brushing your teeth with, where's the water coming from? Why is it coming from there? What is in the water? I mean, if you have water, a lot of people don't even have running water. So let's just focus for a minute on the things that are most important to ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren. And then when it comes time, we will do the ratifications and do the complete changeover. So I just wanted to let you know, it's not like we scrapped the idea, like it's never going to work. It's just right now, it's not the most important thing that we could focus on. And go ahead, Liam. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine, Kim. You just basically said what I was going to say.
Okay, so obviously, it sounds to me like obviously what we have to focus on the day-to-day things, the things that are affecting people on a day-to-day level. Don't worry about the bigger things that are going on. It's something that we just mentioned before we went live. Focus on the things you can change, not the things you can't change. And they are the day-to-day things that affect yourself, your family, your friends and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of get that. The problem is, and I'm going to be devil's advocate here, especially in Ireland, obviously with the way the system works over here, and probably in some countries as well, there's a level of nudge, wink, wink in certain councils and stuff like that. And you normally have to apply for permission and licences and all that to get things done on a bigger level from a restoration point of view. And I sense that, you know, because we talked about the assemblies and we said, okay, right, the plan was that we have our life force, which has got to do with the laws and the enforcement and everything else. Then on the other side, you have the restoration plan and everything else. And personally, myself, I was more focused on the restoration plan and get that off the ground and get that working. The issue that I had in my mind, obviously dealing with that is, you know, if you want to go and you have to get permission to do plan of permission and get this done and that done, and obviously that could be controlled to a certain extent. So based on that, you know, based on the fact that that might happen, what is the best approach for people if they are going to focus on that, if they come across that kind of brick wall?
See, I think at the moment we really need to focus on the needs assessment. You know, for anyone, any organisation, any group, any assembly that's already out there, if we start with that and really trying to understand that, but try and look at the bigger picture as much as possible, not looking at the small bits and pieces. So as part of that needs assessment, as let's say there's an issue with planning permission, you'll go into the needs assessment. We want some detail on this. One of the things we want to make really, really clear is we don't want somebody to say the political system is corrupt and it needs fixed. Well, we know that, and it's the same worldwide. That will get discarded, and it'll not even be looked at. But if you come back to us and say, well, the political system's corrupt, and this is what we see as corrupt about it, and this is what we think needs to be done about it, and what can be changed, and any investigation in there, you know, really do some homework. And that's where we need the people in assemblies and any other groups to really do their homework and look into these things. And ultimately, yes, they'll be able to get paid and for all the effort. But, you know, we need proper investigation, proper thinking behind it. And we need to think much, much bigger. You know, as Kim's saying, we have to go right back to roots. And what we think we should really be doing is trying to work from the end game backwards and reverse engineer from where we are. You know, so if we were going to look at what is the ideal world, if we started with the ultimate world we want to live in, and everyone will see that differently. And I believe we can create that in any way that we want. We're supposed to be the ultimate and creator beings, and I believe that. So, you know, what does that look like? Now, it'll look slightly different for most people, but on a whole, I think most people would agree in what that outcome would be like. And that would be great to get some thoughts around about that. And what we want to do is reverse engineer that all the way back, which will then come into all the issues we have with governments and politics and planning permission and control structures. Now, these are all going to go. There is no doubt about it. They're already crumbling. Most of them's already gone. There's people, you know, all these organisations that were once in control, they're crumbling at such a pace. We're not going to have the restrictions in the future, in the fairly near future, as far as I can see. So you're really thinking out the box a little bit, think a bit bigger, and, you know, come back with these things. And then we will give that to a core team to keep everybody safe at the moment, you know, because there is big issues with safety with people, as we experienced ourselves, Alan, with some of the groups and some of the assemblies that have genuine concerns over their safety, and rightly so. So we're going to remove that concern at the moment, put it on to Kim, really, and the rest of the team of people, and we'll take the brunt of that in the short term until we get some structure in place and some changes made.
Excellent. Kim?
No, I mean, I agree with everything Liam said. You know, and it's very difficult to have someone, say, in America trying to tell the people in Eastern Europe or the people in Africa or the people in South America on how this has to be done. Because every, I would say government, but nanny state, right, runs differently. Mm. Some are communists, some are socialists, some are still, you know, they say they're living in a democracy, but even America's not living in a democracy. Let's face facts here, you know, but the risk to people is the most important thing we're trying to avoid. So by putting those names into the Hall of Records, it exposes them to only the highest of the elite at this moment, because even most of the governments don't have access to some of that. So it became, initially, we were getting a lot of reports about safety concerns, and I don't disagree with them. But if you're just a group of people getting together, discussing all of the issues in the country, but when you discuss issues, I really want you to start thinking about where you're going. So, for example, let's take something that's in the news all the time, especially the alt media. People talk about 5G towers, right? But where are we ultimately going? Well, if we were living in a 5D society, we would all be communicating telepathically, and news would come as part of the collective consciousness. And it would always be the truth because it's part of consciousness. Mm. See? We're not there yet, but let's talk about what we could do. Okay, well, they've been radiating us humans and the surface of this planet and our animals and our plants for, you know, 20, 30 years now. Food is radiated, so it lasts longer on the shelves and looks pretty. 5G towers are no different. Yes, there was some extra proposed control mechanisms within those towers, which no longer exists. But the risk of radiation and microwaving us all is still there, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we could go with a radio mesh, a radio frequency mesh, or a different kind of frequency mesh, and still keep our telecommunication systems, but in a way that it would not be harmful to our person. So that could be like the next step down the road, right?
Yeah.
Then we'll go a step further. You know, maybe we start to learn how to teach our children as a class in school how to communicate telepathically. Maybe we, the next step up from there is how to teach everyone how to do it. And maybe we just get further and further down the road. And that's just one industry and one aspect of that industry that needs to change, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Internet services and all these concerns that people bring up, and they're constantly posting the same thing over and over again. We know there's poison in vaccines. We know how to temporarily fix that, right?
Yeah.
But how do we create a proper immune system in humans? Maybe there's a way we can stimulate the hypothalamus, right?
Yeah.
To produce past the age of 18, which typically for most people, it's right around that age it stops working and you have all the T cells you'll ever have. So maybe there's different things that we can do on the road to things like frequency machines and med beds and other things that are also available. That's all I'm saying is trying to get people to look at the problems, not as problems only, but also look at potential solutions.
It's a difficult thing because as we've spoken before, Liam and yourself, Kim, regarding the issue with people, a lot of people will always, you know, they'd be good at giving you the problem. And the whole idea is just to turn around and say, well, look, don't give me the problem. Go away and think about three solutions to that and then come back. And then let's talk about your three solutions and not just the problem. Something that I learned a long time ago in my corporate career when my boss said that to me in the early days of my career. He said, look, he wasn't an IT guy, but he said, look, I can pick from three solutions, but you need to give me three. Just don't give me the problem. And that's the thing. It's all about energy. Now, I obviously get asked as well regarding, you know, the funding and all that kind of stuff. And I say, look, the funding, the money's there. That's really not the issue. The issue is getting the right people with the right attitude, with the right intent and no ego. That's going to be the hardest part. And I think we can see that with the issues that we've had maybe with the assemblies and people in the past, trying to climb a ladder and loving titles and the ego coming in and all that. And the ego is so damaging to society and people. It really is. And if people study the ego and what it is and how it can affect people in general, and affect you as an individual, because, you know, I know that when I was in my corporate career and I seen it, you know, these people, they get into a job and then they get promotion and they get more money and promotion, more money, promotion, more money. And before you know it, their empire building and their ego's out the door. And in the music business, which is where I learned, lucky enough, it was in my early days when I had an ego and all of a sudden became an arsehole. But I learned from that and that's why I kind of, you know, I'd like to think I'm kind of grounded on that side. But it's so damaging to getting things done and being constructive. And I think people need to start looking at the psychology of human beings and how we interact and how we work. And obviously look at the solution as well, but how we should be working together. And again, I know we've talked about this before, about the child mind and the adult mind. And all this is all relevant and very important moving forward, because we all have to grow. We have to step outside our comfort zone. And our ego wants to keep us in there because it wants to protect us and keep us safe. But we only learn when we step outside the comfort zone. So I think for people kind of tuning in tonight, listening to the show, we need to kind of get into that, the fundamentals of human beings and who we are and how we interact with one another, and try and be grounded and try and use the energy, because even thinking, it's energy. To think takes energy, and some people don't want to think. Oh, I can't be bothered, you know. And this is why a lot of people with the vaccine, as we know, you know, they're outsourcing their thinking to the government because they can't be bothered doing the research and checking it out. So I think that's the important bit. Do you think trying to get the right people, Kim?
Well, and that's where why we started with the group we started with that are currently, I guess you would call it, the think tank at the GPRC. They come from various industries, various parts of the world. They're not all American. There are some Americans on there. But this team has built, you know, one of them works in the water industry as an example, right? So he's very familiar with issues about, say, water rights and how no one, you know, if they don't want you to have them, even if you have them in the court of law, you don't have them. So how do we rectify those issues on a long-term basis and a short-term basis? Liam has discussed several technologies that he's run across and tested. Can they be made larger for farming and for other water needs in specific areas? Absolutely. Home units can produce up to 500 liters an hour. So we have short-term options. And I like, you know, focusing on fighting the agencies who are typically your water board in your respective area is not the best usage of your energy. The best usage of energy is try to find other sources of water. And there are plenty of options and technologies out there, both short-term and long-term. You know, and then we'll get from there, once we've got crops watered and people have water in their respective areas, and you do not need to be on a grid or a line or anything to get this water, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be different in every area of the world. To be fair, but there are options for all types, no matter how dry the region is or how lush the region is. So plenty of options there. But on a long-term basis, we want to focus more on restoring our living water, which is plasma-charged water. It does exist in this world in several locations, but it's not available to everyone. It's not nearby to everyone. But how do we recreate that on an industrial level? Because optimally, that's what people need to be showering in and drinking and bathing, using for their crops, because it is the best water source in the world, at least that we're aware of today. And that may change in the future. There may be something else out there that we're unaware of. So this is the kind of reverse engineering. Where do we want to go? Well, we think we know where we want to go. Living water, right? For mm-hmm. everyone, for all plants, for all animals.
Yeah.
But then you come back down and we get, well, there's structured water we know about right now, which is not the same. And then there's charged water. And then there's a bunch, you know, so we have some options, you know, out there and available to us. But, you know, we're going to take one step at a time toward the end goal of living water and figuring out how to industrialize that. So this is what the GPRC, or Global Peace and Restoration Consortium of Member States, is working on right now. So they've kind of taken a step back. We pulled together a number of people from a number of different industries around the world, and they're coming up with the issues that they currently see in those industries and walking them backwards. And like I said, it's different in every country, and I understand that. But once this comes out, which should be in the next few days, it'll start leaking out. So you'll see some programs and some initiatives and different things. And this is why we decided to take a step back with the assemblies and just have them focus on the problems that they currently have. And we can either A, propose solutions, but I would like for them to come up with two or three potential solutions as well. There's not a nation in this world, including the United States and everywhere else, that does not have a water and sewer problem. Mm. Not one. Everybody has it. You know, unless you live and you have the ability to live at the base of the Himalayas and you're getting glacier water every single day, everybody has a problem.
Yeah.
So everybody has a problem with telecommunications. But instead of focusing on the negative aspect of it, well, we 5G, 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 it's in the news, repost, TikTok video. Well, we know. We all know, right?
Yeah.
That is the problem. Repeating the problem continuously should trigger your mind to what is the solution. Where do we ultimately want to go, and how can we train all of the people of the world to get there, to understand why we changed it?
Yeah.
Free energy. Everybody talks about free energy. Oh, we got to have free energy. We got to have free energy. Well, the average person walking the street has no idea what you're talking about and what that means. That means, oh, I'm going to get free electricity. Well, kind of, but you're still going to have maintenance. There's still, you know, things that are going to have to be done over a period of time. But walk backward to today, if you just decided to flip a switch, What happens to the millions of people that work at electric power plants worldwide? All of the electricians that install copper wiring in your home? You know, what? Well, where do we go from there? So it's a process of vocational training, training people in a new way, training people to understand, well, this is just a Wi-Fi electricity box. Like maybe they would understand that, right? There's a whole psychology aspect that comes into getting people to start training their mind that the world is what you create it to be.
Great. Definitely. And look, I would, I just want to pass that question over to Liam before we get to the questions, but I totally agree. We have to get people thinking. Liam, regarding the people and the attitudes, intent and egos and stuff like that, I know you're in business and you're dealing with people on a daily basis. What's your thoughts on that going forward?
I agree with what Kim was saying there. There has to be stepping stones. And yes, we've got, we're going to have access to all sorts of technologies. We're already seeing them and things like that. But you can't just go from one stage to another, to another, to another. So there's going to have to be stepping stones here. And that's why we're trying to draw up a roadmap here to say, well, okay, we might have an interim technology, something we will start introducing. I mean, free energy is something that 99.999% of the planet couldn't get their head around. I have physically seen free energy devices working. I know they exist, you know, but as Kim was saying there, that's millions and millions of jobs. How do you transition from one to the other? So we've got to be very, very careful with those steps and I'd get into people's consciousness and to their belief system as well. I couldn't agree more. I just want to jump back. You mentioned funding. Funding's always a thing that's mentioned a few minutes ago. The funding, I was just having this conversation the other day, you know, so Kim and her team have been working ridiculous amounts of hours and the amount of stuff that's been done, and I'm privileged to get to know most of the things that happened in the background. And the clearing that's been done, and the amount of work that's been done, and everything's kind of ready to go with the funding. I don't believe there's hardly anything left to do in the way. But the bottom line is, if Source, God, Creator, whatever you believe in, wanted to fund it out today, would it be out today? You know, and I would say yes, of course it would be. That will happen at the perfect timing. I was actually given a date myself, and I believe directly from Source it was 2022, and that's all I'm allowed to say. I've been having a day, a month, and you know, a day, a time. I've been given all of that, and I believe it to be accurate. It's, it feels very soon to me. Are we ready for that, though? No way are we ready for funding, as far as I can see. You know, I know there's a lot of things, you know, we're needing to do a lot of things very, very quickly just to put plasters over things. But is the true structure there? No, we don't have a structure. We don't have this. This is why we're trying to build this. So I believe there's a few things have to be put in place first. The structure that we're trying to put together just now, and it's the thinking, as Kim's saying there, it's the thinking. People need to think differently here. We're not thinking out of the box. We're not ready. We're going to start throwing money and resources at things. It's not fixing anything. It'll fix something in the short term. It'll be a disaster further down the line. We need to really think long term, end goal, and then work that, reverse engineer that backwards. As Kim says, there's a lot of really clever people in these teams. That are, you know, they've got a track record of thinking very, very differently. Now, they're not going to make the decisions for everyone. They're going to build a structure for everyone to be able to have, to be heard, to have the voice, to put forward whatever they need, whether it's a single individual, an existing organisation, an assembly or whatever. It doesn't really matter. One of the good examples there that Kim was using was the water. What is it we ultimately want? I don't know. I'm sure Kim doesn't know and you don't know. You know, we need to decide what is it we actually want to get to, because there's so many options there. But the ultimate option isn't going to happen because we're not ready for it. There's all sorts of problems. But an interim fix is potentially one of the products that I've been looking at and we're prototyping at the moment. Is a thing called atmospheric water. So it's just pulling water out of the atmosphere, but pulling it out in a way that it's very, very cost effective. And that can be done anywhere in the world, you know, so we can be putting perfectly clean water absolutely anywhere with super cheap units that will create a lot of industry, it will create jobs, we could use our cooperative type model, we could do all sorts of things around that. But it will have a lifespan because actually, ultimately, it's not the answer. but it'll be a short-term fix. It's going to fix a lot of the problems with polluted waters and various different things all around the world. And you can produce water in the middle of the desert with this thing, you know, but it's not the ultimate long-term goal. There's better things for that. So I agree that we've got to have stepping stones, especially for the, you know, we talk about free energy or energy devices or devices that create heat and things like that. You know, we have to really think about how that gets deployed and get it into people's mindsets that it's possible. You know, if you try and tell somebody there's a free energy, most people wouldn't believe it. I've certainly experienced that all the time. And it is a hard thing. I'm an engineer and I'm very mechanical in my thinking, I'm very logical in my thinking, but I didn't believe these things until I actually physically tested them myself, you know. So we've got to gradually bring that into the possibilities and teach people that we can create whatever we want. And I believe we can create absolutely anything we want to create, but we have to believe it's possible. And we have to, you know, really try and imagine what that could be like and put that creativity out there. And if the masses are doing that, my God, everything's going to change very, very rapidly.
No, I totally agree. And this is something that I've been saying to people all along. Go and get your projects. Start thinking about what you want to do and start putting your plans together. Because I said, if Kim and Liam turn around and say, oh, by the way, on Monday, the funds are going to be released for argument's sake, are you ready? And most of the people are going, no. And I'm going, well, what, you know, that's really the situation we're going to have to sort out. You're going to have to go away and start putting your plans together and be ready. Because as soon as you give us the nod and everything's okay to go, we need to hit the ground running with that. And that's what I keep saying to people. Go and start doing your plans and get them organised. Now, obviously, part of this is getting them approved, going through the approval process and everything else, which is probably going to be one of the questions. I'll have to start going off to the questions now, otherwise we'd be here all night. So I tell you what, let's hold off for that for now. Let's start going through the questions. Now, the questions are in no particular order. Okay, so we'll just go through them. We'll try and fly through them as much as we can. And that's going to be one of the questions regarding if people have a project and they need to put it in, who approves that and how does it work? Now, I assume that, you know, yourself and Kim working on the structure now at the moment, that will all be taken care of and there'll be a process to do that. But we'll get into that. But let's start off, as I say, the questions are in no particular order. So let's start off going through them. And yourself, Liam and Kim, if you want to comment on them, please do. Right, so first one is, can we still put in orders as a group to have them ratified and enforced? So whoever wants to take that one.
No, that's no. For the people's safety, I would say that's no. We'll see what Kim says. But we are asking them to put things forward as a needs assessment. If they see something needs to be changed, there's needs go through the needs assessment process. And we're going to help with that. We're going to, you know, train people on what that looks like and give examples. From those needs assessments, we can decide if orders are needed and need to be ratified. And that way, it's the only way we can protect people.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to put it in a little, in my Kim speak sarcasm. my mother always told me never to try to reason with a drunk man. You know, wait till he sobers up in the morning and then you can have a conversation, or a woman for that matter. Well, every government is drunk and you're expecting to try to reason with them and offer some common sense and some guidance when really all they need is a cup of coffee and a taxi. Mm. You know, I'd rather just give them a taxi, just send them on their way. And maybe some of them will wake up one day and say, you know, this isn't the right way. You know, I agree with you. And maybe they won't. But by then, we utilize our new, I'm calling them business plans, because everything requires planning, right? If you're going to take a family vacation, you have to plan when you have two or three small children. Now you have several million children if you are an assembly member. Right?
Yeah.
That you need to be concerned about. That takes a lot of planning. So all I'm asking is for people to start focusing on, if you don't have all the basic needs in your area, and I would disagree with anyone that says that there are areas of the world where you have all the basic needs, because you don't. And maybe you have to have a new understanding of what basic needs are. This is what Liam was referring to as needs assessment.
Yeah.
So we have to start focusing on these things first. And that's what the funding will go to.
Great. Okay.
I'm not saying we won't pay these needs assessment persons or assemblies or whatever you want to call them in your area for your safety, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Of course, there's a salary involved in doing any kind of job so you can focus on what's really truly needed. But, you know, one thing I do know for sure is every legal system in the world was based on black, white, and gray. So on the black side of it, you have all of the rules that they roll under, right?
Yeah.
On the white side of it, it's what we see, you know, as the slaves,
yeah,
so to speak, or I just say former slaves. And then there's the gray. And as long as we stick in the white and the gray, there's nothing we can't get done. And I do realize in some countries that it's going to, you know, result in corrupt planning committees and corrupt governments and corrupt permissions to build a road or a school or whatever. I do understand that. But there's a way to let the GIA negotiate those terms and conditions where you just get to do whatever you need to do, and that we, you know, lead, follow, or get out of the way as far as the drunk guys are concerned.
Mm. Okay. Next question. How will it work if there are different groups doing different things, e.g. dealing with the homeless? I think they mean having some kind of coordination on a per country basis rather than random groups doing their own thing.
So with that, Alan, it's going to be very, very different how we're going to do that. And people are going to see what everyone's doing. There's going to be 100% transparency here. It doesn't matter what, the only thing that will be protected is people's personal details. Out with that, everything's going to be visible to everyone, anywhere in the world. We're going to sort of build like a kind of map thing. So if you want to zoom into an area, a country or whatever, that's going to take a little bit of time, so I need to be a little bit patient with us. But if you want to see what, you know, doing something for the homeless in your area, are we duplicating it? Are we, what is other people doing? What's the right thing to do there? Has it been thought about right? Do these people want to be homeless? Because I know for the work that I did with the homeless, they wanted to be homeless, they were quite happy. So you, what is their actual needs of the event? And, you know, so one, you know, again, a needs assessment for the homeless. You know, is there a needs? What are the needs and all the rest of it? But the transparency there, people will be able to see what everyone else is doing in other countries, or other areas, or other towns, whatever it might be, because you're going to learn from it. We're going to do a lot of things that might not work out too well, or things that work out really well, you know, different ways of thinking. So anybody who's going to be able to access through the one single site and go into that, pick the category, you know, everything will be categorized to some degree so it's easy to find, and then go and see what other people are doing, see the results from it, see, you know, what their investigation was, you know, so the transparency, like we've always chatted about, Alan, transparency is everything here.
Yeah.
And that really helps everybody. You know, let's not hide what we're doing here. We want the whole world to see what everybody else is doing and learn from it, learn whether we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, because we'll make mistakes. And there is no point in duplicating things, or with businesses, displacement. We're just going to end up displacing jobs from elsewhere. We need to think, you know, the bigger picture all the time. So that information is going to be there, and anybody can access it. Anybody. There's no secrets, no nothing. Nothing's going to be hidden away other than people's personal details.
So it's going to be like ripples in the pond. That as everybody starts putting their projects together and you have them on the website and it's all transparent, there'll be overlaps there, and people can, and you know, go in, and if somebody's further down the road, they might actually contact them and say, look, show us what you're doing because this sounds brilliant. And there's no point in reinventing the wheel if somebody else is doing it. And I totally agree. Everything has to be transparent, and that's kind of the best way forward. Kim, do you want to add to that?
I'm here. Sorry, I was muted out. I don't disagree with anything Liam said. I think that people need to give each other and themselves a break. That's the one thing I see a lot of. You know, people will have a disagreement about an issue, an event, an idea, and that's fine. But it would be helpful if people would take the time to understand the fullness of the idea, right? And then maybe have a discussion about it, rather than criticizing each other constantly. You know, we're all trying here.
Yeah.
you know, all of us. And the divide, the, you know, this is what caused all our issues before. You know, we allowed that to happen, but be more focused on the common goals that we all have. Projects should be related, directly related to the area within a few kilometers or miles of where you are. I'm not so concerned on a national level at this moment in time of people coordinating, because you could take any given nation and the issues may be different in each particular area. If there is a particular thing of interest that is either global or it is a national issue, you know, such as transportation that will run across multiple provincial or state lines, depending on where you are in the world, you know, we will get those people together and coordinate that.
Yeah.
There'll be engineering reports that'll have to be done. You know, the global high-speed rail, for example, engineering report took, oh, I think it took 7 to 10 years to complete. So when Liam says that we're not ready for funding, you know, you can't just say, I would like a pony, right? Well, you live in New York City. You have to figure out, where is the pony going to live? Who's going to feed the pony? How much does it cost to house the pony? Where are you going to put this, or where are you going to put that? I personally have not yet seen the needs assessments that have already been completed. We are building a channel for those appropriately, and for questions and answers, so that people will have a one-stop shop that will send the needs assessment to the appropriate department in the appropriate area. And then as we learn and we grow from each other, eventually we will be building GPRC sites in many areas of the world. There's not going to be just one in New York and one in Geneva. So they'll be everywhere. And there'll be a section in there, which is the Museum of Science for Grownups, I call it, where you can start to see all these collective technologies and solutions that have worked in particular areas. You know, you'd have to select something from there. You don't have to, but those are options. So we're sharing globally in a cooperative manner all that is available to everyone. And then that's where you could get your information from. So we'll get there. Right now, we're just trying to get a proper flow, proper structure, proper departments. If you remember a few years back, Alan, that long sheet of paper that was posted.
Yep.
In 1975, that plan was revised. It's known only in the Hall of Records. It's been going on for thousands of years. It's called the program. That's all they call it, is the program. And then it was revised again in 1975 to adjust for the non-compete plan. And that's where they took over every industry, every raw material, and their goal was to complete this by 2022. And here we are in 2022, and luckily enough, they haven't gotten us, right?
Yeah.
So you also have to think about supply chains. And, you know, currently COVID is being blamed for ridiculous gas prices, ridiculous food prices, raw material shortages. In America, we call it lumber. There you call it wood. Mm-hmm. It is wood in America as well. But we have a new name for it for some reason. And we have shortages, extreme shortages. And it's very, very expensive right now all over the world.
Yeah.
Businesses are very slow in providing parts and services. You know, there's a shortage of aluminum or aluminum, depending on where you are. Mm. You know, we have raw material shortages everywhere. This whole situation with China, where they're milling, you know, 80% of the world's raw materials. And most people don't even want them because they don't meet specifications. You know, we have supply chain problems. We have all kinds of issues. Mm. So for people that say, I want to switch my whole country to wind or solar energy, right, as an interim solution. Mm. Well, that sounds lovely. But do you know how long it takes to produce one of those turbines? And where do you get one from?
Yeah. Yeah, you're just saying what I've said before, and I agree. You know, it's great people come with ideas saying, I want to save the planet and do X, Y, and Z. But to be honest with you, you have to look at the logistics and what's involved and how long it's going to take to do it. And, you know, this is why I think And I don't, there's no problem thinking big. I don't have a problem with that. But you have to look, at, as Liam said, the needs assessment, number one, and how you're going to structure that and put it together. And then who's going to be involved in getting the people involved. It's like project management in any corporate company. When you're going to be putting the project together, you have to put the team together, you have to put the plan together, how it's going to roll out, the change management that's going to take place. And the I know, Liam, you call it needs assessment. In the corporate world, I would call it justification for getting the budget that you want to do what you need to do. And there's ways and means to do that in the corporate world, but we won't be applying that psychology here, because it's all got to do with the betterment of the planet and the people. Okay, let's crack on. Let's go to the next question. I was going to say as well, by the way, if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying hard enough, apparently. That's the saying. So the third question is, does that mean that the roles and positions in the Assembly are now void?
So, Alan, I would say, for the time being, as Kim says, the Assemblies will work. The ideas behind the Assemblies absolutely will work, but not at the moment. There's a few stepping stones before they will work. So at the moment, anybody in any Assembly anywhere, you are equal to everyone else, 100%. And I have personal experience of working with some of these Assemblies, and some pretty amazing, and some, well, I was absolutely blown away by how much of a disaster they were, because egos were going to do it. It was all about positions. And see the amount of energy they would end to disputing things and falling out with one another. If they actually just placed that energy into thinking about solutions and creating solutions, it would have been phenomenal. We would have been making progress. So at the moment, for anybody in the Assembly, I would say, everybody's 100% equal. You're a group coming together as a think tank. You know, if you don't agree with them, fine. You can make smaller groups and write down to an individual group if you want. So for the time being, for people's safety, there is no positions, nothing like that matters at the moment, because we're not going to be ratifying anything. We're going to do this in a different way. We've learned from it, you know, as Kim's saying, we're learning all the time, you know, and we're changing the structures to suit the rest of the world that's changing around us. A lot has changed. So, yeah, that's what I would say with that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Liam. I think there's a lot of learning during this process of getting things organised, and nothing like this has ever been done on the planet before. So mistakes are going to be made, and that's part of learning. And we just have to kind of take what we've learned as the good stuff and leave the bad stuff behind and just develop that further. And I totally agree. I think that's the best way forward. Okay, next question. I'll ask Liam this one first, and then we can pass it over to Kim. One question for Kim. If she gets to the stage where she is ready to disperse funds, where will she send them, seeing as it seems they are going to close commercial banks and create a digital currency? So, one for you, Liam.
It's probably best Kim answers this, but I don't think there's going to be closing the banks, and I don't think there's going to be just a digital currency. That's just my personal belief. I don't think we would allow that to happen. But, you know, that's obviously Kim's forte for sure. Where the funds will go, we will build the structure behind that, and how those funds will be dispersed and looked after. We'll be pairing up with many different organisations, hopefully the likes of the enterprise organisation, which are available in every single country, in every single area. These organisations, like, for example, Scottish Enterprise, they've got 1,262 people already employed. They've got, you know, buildings, they've got infrastructure, they've got systems. They're used to giving out grants, loans, guiding people, business plans, you know, building teams of people round about projects and all the rest of it. So, you know, people are going to have some amazing projects, but most people won't be able to manage them. No disrespect to them, they just do not have that ability and have that background. So we need to build a support structure around that. We will do that, and we'll do that with existing organisations where possible. And if we link them up all around the world, and I'm currently dealing with, you know, I've dealt with Scottish Enterprise for many years. I can see their strengths. I can see their weaknesses. In Detroit, the MED, Mission Economic Development Corporation, amazing organisation. Again, they would help people in Irish. The same everywhere around the world. So we will have an avenue for the funds to come through and how that will be managed and how it will be monitored. Because we need to justify what we're doing. We can't just be throwing money at things. We need to make sure for the value of the currency, for that matter, for make sure that production is going in the right way. Or Kim has, in her system, will allow us, some of the things that she's created within the system will allow us to monitor, you know, the value of currency and various other things that will be very important as well.
Yeah, Kim?
Well, I know people in the Western world would think that a digital currency, a straight digital currency, would be possible because most people use debit cards, credit cards, whatnot, you know, and then they have their stash outside the bank in case the banks crash and all of these types of things. But the whole rest of the world deals in cash, physical cash in your hand. Number one, small businesses, very rarely in the African continent, South American continent, and Eastern Europe, can actually afford to use debit or credit cards or accept them. So much so it takes up to 2 weeks to receive your merchant payout. It's not even possible. We're not even anywhere near that. Now, there is a current project out there. It's called Project Hamilton. And that was where what they call G1 and G2, which would be the European Union and the United States and North America, would go to a cryptocurrency that they could control, and then that would become the backing for all our other currencies in the world. Well, problem with that is that they do not possess any kind of a system that could possibly process even that many transactions in a day. Several months ago in the U.S., they tried to launch a similar type program. This was done at the Atlanta, Georgia Payment Center, which is the largest banking center. That's where Fiserv, F-I-S-E-R-V-E, is located. And this system that they were trying to install lasted just under 5 minutes. I think it was like 4 minutes and 30 some odd seconds, right? Because it just does, they just don't have that computing capacity without the likes of Watson and some of these others, which have been completely disabled. And the AI that they're calling the other quantum system hasn't functioned in a while now. And then on the flip side of it, China also tried to do the same thing with just a cryptocurrency for all of China. And that system, I think, was even less. I think it was a little over 3 minutes. So they're in the deep state, who'd like to create this global cryptocurrency, is nowhere technologically advanced enough to pull it off. They just don't have the computing power. Secondly, the majority of the world does not use digital currency, at least not the average everyday person anyway. You know, you're probably 25, 30 years if we were to start that process today from even getting there. And by then, who knows if we'll even need money anymore.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully we, as you said, your goal is what, 10, 20 years. Maybe we can get to that stage where we don't need it. It'd be pretty good. That's great. And the next question is, what will happen to the GeForce Network website now, obviously, that the assemblies have been stopped, just shut down?
Yeah, they're not actually shut down. I just want to use the word ratifications have been postponed.
Okay.
As far as orders and whatnot, I want to keep people focused on orders that actually help every single human in their respective area. In other words, I can register the bill, it's called a bill, into the Hall of Records to build a community center, to build a school, to build 10,000 school buses, whatever it is, right? Mm. Clinics, hospitals. I would rather present those bills because they mean something, and then have the system pay out for those bills, then have you say, well, we need the government to stop doing this. Again, you're trying to reason with a drunk man. It's never going to happen, not right now. So
We've tried to enforce those orders. We've sent out emails. We've contacted government officials. They all say they're there. They know they're there, but they just ignore us completely. So I suggest that we all start ignoring them. As far as the assemblies are concerned, the GeForce website is a social media application. It's not run by assemblies. It's not built by assemblies. It's supposed to be a way for you to communicate without being censored on other types of social media, which are constantly censoring horribly right now. That's what the GeForce website's meant to do. It's really not assembly related at all.
Okay.
In part, but not at all.
So let's say, for example, say Ireland, for example, because that's where we are. We have fluoride in the water, and it's been in the water since about 1963, 64. And I know we're very concerned over, you know, the harm that it's doing and damage it's doing to people. And we have talked about it in the Irish Assembly. We talked about, you know, getting that removed. And there was a point made that obviously it'd be easier getting rid of a law that has been made that the majority of people will agree with, like, say, TV licensing or property tax, rather than fluoride, because there's people out there who still believe that fluoride benefits your teeth in the water, and we obviously know that's not the case. So where would we – so using Ireland as an example, if we asked – we contacted you and Liam and said, right, okay, we'd like to get this removed from the Hall of Records as a law, what would happen there? Could we do it? What would happen there, and how can we enforce it?
Okay. First of all, for those of you that don't know, fluoride is nuclear waste. It's a derivative of nuclear waste. So again, this is the further radiation of humanity, right? Which is causing massive, rapid cellular degeneration. But so I do understand the need to remove fluoride from the water. And most people think, well, if I don't drink it, then I should be fine. That's not true. It's absorbed through your skin as well. So I agree with you there. And I agree that we could write an order for that. We could send it through to the government, and everybody is going to completely ignore you.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. So what do we do? Okay. Now, if I had billions of dollars and I lived in Ireland, I would try to create my own water sources, both to bathe in and to drink and to cook with. And I would start looking at options such as the one Liam presented, you know, just as one option of many. But, you know, he talks about this one unit that will produce 500 liters a day. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, I totally agree. Liam, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, and also, you know, Kevin's right. At this moment in time, we're going to be ignored. We're putting certain things in. They're just ignoring that. That will change. It will change in time. But I totally agree. What's the other solution? Well, find a new water supply. Or if we're bringing in a different type of energy source, does that mean we're not creating nuclear waste anymore? So they don't have it to put in the fluoride in the water. You know, I think there's other ways of looking at that. We need to, you know, look back, come out, and look back into it, you know, look at the bigger picture. You know, where does the fluoride come from? Is there a way of stopping the source of that even? You know, there's many, many different, maybe there isn't, maybe there is, but we're not thinking that way. We need to think differently. But there is a number of different options for different things to do with water supplies. And I think that's going to be a big project, and a number of different technologies that can be introduced. And as Kim said earlier on, we're going to have these science and technology places are, you know, science for the grown-ups places. We're not going to be worried about patents or anything. You can go in there, have a look at the technologies that are available anywhere in the world. So, yeah, we'll take that, or we'll take that, or, you know, none of them are any good, or we'll try and develop that. You know, everything is there to be shared. And it's a, you know, we're not going to be working in a patent system for that for sure. So there's going to be other options there. And it might just be a plaster on something, a stepping stone, until such times as the governments do pay attention. You know, they'll start paying attention when they can't pay the bills. They'll start paying attention when they can't pay their staff. You know, these days are coming, and they're not that far away.
Yeah, okay, no, that's fair enough. Well, I'm going to start the next question, and I'll ask you, Liam, and then pass it over to Kim. And the next question, how does Kim and Liam see the world changing over the next 2 years?
Yeah.
Do you have your tinfoil hat on, Liam, so we can answer this properly?
Yeah, well, I've got to be really, really far-fetched here. You're a bit bizarre here. I think Kim might even get a vacation in the next 2 years.
That's my God, a vacation.
I think the world will be.
I think you are psychic. Yeah, I really do.
A vacation, that's
great
really...
Great prediction.
That's definitely going to be a conspiracy. Kim going on vacation.
Yeah. I truly don't think we'll recognise the world in 2 years' time. We'll not recognise what was there. So much will have changed. I'm not saying it's going to be far from perfect, that's for sure. But from what I can feel was coming and more in intuition and more in sort of guidance... So much will have changed. The thing is, I think it's already happened, most of it. The stuff that's been happening in the background, the changes that have been happening within the system, that Kim doesn't talk about them, as I say, privileged to get to know, and I do speak to Kim a lot. You know, some of these things that have been changed, these frequencies that have been hitting us, all sorts of different things. Humanity is just starting to get the benefit of these changes. Now these agreements that have came to an end, all the things have been, you know, the system automatically cancelled out, the Hall of Records and various other things cancelled, all sorts of things. The knock-on effect of that, we just don't fully understand, and I think it's absolutely phenomenal. You know, people are, even their bodies are going to be regenerating in different ways. You know, there's been this kind of veil around the majority of people on the planet. You know, if you're fairly awake, it didn't affect you, then that's a minority of people. But now people are seeing, if you just look at the last few weeks, people are waking up. People are seeing the truth. So there's phenomenal changes coming in. And the more and more people that do that, and the more and more resistance there is to the old system and starting to look at new things, it's going to be absolutely phenomenal.
Brilliant. Kim, do you want to add to that?
I agree with Liam in the fact that I should get a vacation in the next 2 years. He's absolutely correct in his assessment.
Yeah.
No. You know, if you look at the last 2 years, you know, we've seen a lot of changes, both positive and negative, right? I mean, energies are going up and down. People are learning to face their own truths. This is the Great Awakening. For some, it's a rude awakening. But people are awakening nonetheless. People are trying to run from their own truths. You know, this is the job I hate. Why am I going here? Look at how many people are working from home now. So people that do have to go to like a factory or an office or whatnot, you know, they're not wanting those jobs. They're enjoying their working from home process and spending more time with their families. You know, there's so much that needs to happen. What do I see happening in the next 2 years? You know, if this had been 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you would have seen this war would have kicked off without a hitch. You would have seen coronavirus 10,000 and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
By now, you would have seen us completely locked down.
Yeah.
You know, those things are changing too. You know, the United Nations invading countries and laws being passed to do this and to that. You know, a lot of that's changing. They announce that this is going to happen and then nothing ever happens, right?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it is the deep state is a global operation that costs hundreds of millions of dollars a day if they were doing it the way they wanted to. They do not have that kind of funding. They do not have that cash. So even if, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, so please nobody panic, but if we never transferred a dollar, we're all still here because we didn't.
Yeah.
Right? So just look at how far we've come in 2 years' time, in 4 years' time, in 5 years' time. Look at how much you've grown as a person. Right? And I'm not talking about you, Alan. I'm just talking about people in general right now. You know, where did you start off with 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Did you realize all these things were a problem? You know, people always talked about when I was a little kid about starving children in China. You know, or Ethiopia was on TV every 5 minutes. You know, is that the case still?
I will say that, you know, going back 10 years when I first started. Well, 2010, when I first started radio and the subjects we had talked about and the things that were going on, even just a 10-11 year period, there's been a massive shift. And I think the COVID was an own goal by the deep state, because people are saying, you know what, I don't want to work for this corporate company and slave to them for them. So I'm just going to leave my job and I'm going to do something else. So it was a massive own goal for the deep state, because they actually woke people up by doing what they did.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. So if you're asking me, where do I see the next 2 years? I'm going to tell you where I see it. That's not up to me. That's up to you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's up to every single person listening to this call right now. Where will we be in 2 years? That's up to all of us.
Remember the meme I sent off to you and Liam, Sigmund Freud, and he apparently said, one of his quotes was that people don't like responsibility because being responsible means you have to take responsible for the things that you do. They like the victim mentality where, you know, if they don't take responsibility, then they can just blame people and go, well, I didn't make that choice. And I know one or two people in my social circle and family who are like that. They do not want to take responsibility because they don't get blamed then. And they can blame everybody else, like the barroom politician. And I think, again, going back to, and I know people are probably sick in the face for me here, saying about the child mind, adult mind, but we have to grow up. We have to become responsible adults. And, you know, yes, sometimes we make choices and they don't work out. We make mistakes. Yeah, I mean, that's life, you know, but I mean, we have to grow up. We have to stop being the victim and take responsibility. And that's the kind of adult mind and the way forward for all of us. You know, and so I'm hoping that, you know, all we can all do that. I hope that, you know, people can actually have a think about that, you know, and you know, make that decision, say, right, from now on, I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to make responsible decisions and understand that sometimes I make a choice and it could be wrong, but that's just the way it is. And stop being the victim, you know, because it's time to grow up. You know, we have to put the big boy pants on.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and the more time we focus on problems and, you know, look, this is the problem. Look at this is another conversation about the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. We got the problems. How about some solutions?
Yeah.
You know, that type of, we know it's negative. We know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We know every single thing they're doing before they even do it. Please don't say you're pointing something out to me and watch this 2 hour long YouTube video. It doesn't help me any. I don't want to watch a 2 hour video.
Yeah.
I can get the cliff notes from the intelligence system.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Okay. So let's crack on. Question. This is probably one for Kim. How will a new money or quantum exchange system be rolled out? Will digital crypto have an interim role for how long?
Okay. Like I said, part of the world right now does digital transactions every day. They're just numbers on a computer screen. This is not a new thing. It's been going on. The global digital system of transfer was launched in 1978. Anyway, so moving on into current day in the future. People talk about a quantum system. There is a quantum system. It's been running for a long time. It's been the backbone of just about every industry. That's not going to change anytime in the near future. We do have a new way of banking we are going to start rolling out. And like I said, it's not an overnight thing where people are their own institution unto themselves. Whether or not the buildings that people walk into remain intact, that's up to those building people. If not, we'll find other places and ATM machines. And we have ATM machines that run on solar power and low Earth orbiting satellite systems. We don't need their institutions. We don't need their brick and mortar. They're not doing us any good anyway. So there's a lot of steps to that, and I know you've got a lot of questions, Alan, so I'm not going to elaborate too much, and we will as we roll it out, but it is ready, it is prepared, and in some parts, I guess you would say, or in some ways, it's directly related to project funding and job creation is the way that it is currently, so...
Okay, Liam, do you want to add anything to that?
No, nothing to add to that one.
Okay, great. You know, I love the statement from Jurassic Park where he says, nature finds a way. And I think that's what we'll do. I think that's what we're going to be end up doing. We'll find a way. There's always a way around something. And I think we'll find a way. Whether it's ATMs with solar panels, so be it. Okay, next two. Sorry, Liam, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, the statement just made there, Alan, I think is extremely powerful. Nature always finds its way. It's something my grandfather taught me at a very, very young age. Nature always wins. You know, and he was just talking about railway lines or something, as everyone was growing over it, old railway lines and stuff like that. His nature always gets the better of everyone, you know, and it's true. And all these things, restrictions have been removed recently, is allowing natural law and all these things to take place. There's a lot of things working for the people now that never worked for them before because of these old agreements and all the things. So I just see it as nature working and it's doing its course, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a great saying, nature finds a way, because I've seen that time and time again. Okay, the next two questions are kind of stuff that we've already talked about. They're saying, how will the new repurposed assemblies communities be rolled out? Well, that's in progress at the moment. When will money start flowing for projects? Well, when sources decides it's time for that to happen. So we'll move on from there. The next question is one for Kim, but then again, you could, Liam, you could answer this for you as well. Kim, it says, what would Kim identify as her greatest victory accomplishments over the last 5 years?
What would I consider?
Yeah. What would you consider? What would you identify?
We're all still alive. That would be number one. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Liam.
Well, that's easy for me. That's meeting Kim.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh. I'd have to agree, in all honesty. And I think the three of us, you know, we've been through a bit and we came out the other end, and you know, it's great having a chat and just down to earth, and you know, just you know, having a general chat. I won't go into any more than that, but you know, it's just, you know, it's great having level-headed people to be able to chat it with, no egos, and you know, just having a bog standard chat. And yeah, you know, we've talked about this before. Okay, next question. But we have to get together. I know we're going. We had planned to get together to have that karaoke night of a few beers and all that kind of stuff. We still have to do that. Right? We still have to do that.
Hey, one day, Alan.
one day, we'll sort it out. Okay. Next question. What can we expect to see in place of the assemblies if they are going to be removed? Well, we talked about that earlier, so you can rewind that question for people when the podcast is available. Just go back in 15 minutes. I know it's all a theatre, the act of war, but will life force enforcement be used in the Ukraine region to put a halt to things if civilian lives are threatened? Kim.
Ukraine. This is a 2-hour long conversation unto itself. It is possible, and it has happened in the last week, that I can tell you for sure. I think the president of Ukraine needs to go back to doing comedy shows, which is where he hailed from. I think that the American deals that Biden, both junior and senior there, made in 2014 should probably end. And I think the people of the Ukraine have so many things that needs to happen, from proper roads. I'm sure if anybody from Ukraine is listening, they'll know what I mean. You have man-eating potholes there every spring. Then you have a failing healthcare system, especially in areas outside the major cities. There's also running water issues. Then there's the housing units that Stalin built. I mean, there are many things that we could all focus on in Ukraine other than what the government is going to do or is not going to do. And let us handle some of the stuff on the back end to try to ensure that doesn't happen. I can tell you on a positive note that the Russian military and the Ukrainian military do not want this to happen. And they're in complete disagreement with the actual government at this moment.
Okay. Liam, do you have any comment on Ukraine? Have you been seeing what's going on?
No, I've not really any comment, Alan. Not Tad.
Okay. No worries at all. Not something that we want to dwell on anyway, but there is a question here regarding funding. So we'll just do this one, Kim. In light of current situation in Ukraine, is it possible to block the transfer of nearly $1 billion in aid from the National Bank of Poland to the National Bank of Ukraine?
Oh, let me tell you, there's a lot of promises being made right now in very, very little delivery. Whether that's because it doesn't actually arrive, it disappears, or it's because it was never there to begin with. And if you go back a couple of episodes in the news, I think Sunny read that news where we talked about the $900 billion worth of bonds that have been floating around. People are trying to cash in on, and a few other things. There was another brilliant idea of leveraging in-ground resources again, in the United States. So there's a lot of things that are going on that are not coming to fruition. Therefore, there's not a lot of transfers being being made for a multitude of reasons.
Okay, no problem at all. Liam, do you want to comment on that?
No, just that from what I'm learning through, Kim really is, you know, 99 out of 100 promises and things that never happened. And this is why they've been exposed so, so quickly. You can't hide away from it now. I would doubt if there was ever going to be a transfer in the first place.
Okay, no worries. Okay, next question. This is obviously from somebody who's obviously in Ireland. I think they might have been an assembly member. And they said, was there a hopeful contact between Kim and members of the Irish establishment, being the government, re the restoration plan, be they government, civil servants, military, or the Gardaí, or is it up to us? Now, obviously, the Assembly, as you say, is kind of not going to be functioning the way it was originally set up to. So I think that kind of question has been answered earlier on. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
well, if there is a serious situation that arises there, not that there aren't many serious issues. Sorry about the noise. Not like there are not several serious issues going on in Ireland, but I can reach out on a diplomatic line to military if I need to. You know, and probably to the government, probably fall on deaf ears unless I contacted the IRA.
Right. Okay. And that's the Irish military you're talking about, is it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
No. Anywhere, yeah.
Okay, that's okay. Okay, so the next question is, Tang says the GIA has offices in every country. Is that the case in Ireland? If so, can they be used to check out those wishing to join the assemblies? Well, again, the assemblies are kind of changing, so probably not relevant, but do you want to comment on that?
I could comment on it. I think Tang said a lot of things, but GIA offices in every country don't exist. If you want a GIA office, you need to go to Kim directly. It's my understanding that is the only one. Is that correct, Kim?
And the contacts that I do have in various countries, I kind of hold close to my chest.
Yeah.
Because some of them are in areas like Ukraine and in Russia and Poland and in Africa and various locations, and I prefer to try to keep we are going to be developing a centralized line to voice concerns, but keep in mind the people that we do have with the GIA right now are giving us a lot of information and in area that have stopped a lot of situations like in the Middle East and a number of other places right now in South Africa. Recent situations that have occurred. So I'm trying to field the most important concerns that we have at the moment, which is basically all due to the death rattle of the deep state. I'm not quite as concerned about an assembly member at this moment. It doesn't mean that it won't be an issue. going forward into the future. And that's also part of the reasons why we're not having official assemblies at this time, because of the plans of the deep state to infiltrate every assembly in the world. So I'd rather just have a group of people proposing projects and whatnot. I know that there will be people that will try to infiltrate, if we come out with a new technology, they're going to try to have pinch points on supply chains and supply lines, by increasing prices so that we can't do the development they think, or they can profit off that development. There has to be a better way that goes right down to every bit of raw materials that goes into any technology anywhere. So that's kind of where our main focus is right now.
Okay, no problem. Next question. Is GeForce site independent from the present web? And if Kim's computer system is capable of detecting the intent behind a post, can it be used to detect infiltrators, or how sensitive is it?
Well, it is obviously not independent of the current web, because you can find it on your Google browser, right?
Yeah.
We could change that by going with a different browser. People call the deep web like Onion or one of those. It's not actually the deep web as I know it. But where is that really going to put us, right?
Yeah.
As far as infiltration, it was a hard lesson I had to learn personally. It's not a skill that you develop overnight. And if we stay focused on needs and, water supplies and potential things, could they report to the deep state what we're doing? Sure. By that point, we'll be putting it on air and not care. We'll be able to have security for said water providing facilities. I'm just giving you an example of the many industries that have to change. But that's more my focus. I'm not totally concerned about that now that the assemblies don't have an official registration. And in the future, we will. And maybe in your foresight of 2 years from now, we will have those official ratifications. But right now, I don't really see the point, because all it does is cause more and more issues.
Okay. And Liam, do you want to add to that regarding infiltration and maybe what to watch out for or be aware of?
Yeah, well, the only thing that we would be using at the moment for any sort of key people and some of the key think groups, as Kim can run various reports, which is wise to do. These are very, very in-depth reports, so we can make sure we're bringing the right people on and not infiltrating for these key groups, for these key think tanks at the moment. That's the only thing I'm aware of.
Yeah, I think for people who are kind of concerned about that, I think if you put your needs assessment together and your plan, and then you get people who want to join the group and they start trying to pull you in a different direction, I think that would be the first kind of thing, question mark, I'd be raising. Why does this person want to go in a different direction when this plan has been put together and agreed to by the majority, if not of all the members? So, you have to think logically as well and apply some logic to it when you're in a group, use a bit of common sense and start asking questions. Okay.
Well, and like one of the things you used to bring up all the time, Alan, was the mortgage system in Ireland, right? Mm. And how they were foreclosing and the system was broken.
Yeah.
Well, all mortgage systems in the world were tied to a system called MERS, M-E-R-S. And MERS was a part of IBM Watson. IBM Watson's power source or energy source came from the dark AI that went down a couple of weeks ago. So that is no longer functioning, as an example. So it is up to us to create an entirely new way of buying and selling homes.
Yep, exactly. And affordable homes as well, because of what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
And then by the time it hits my desk, so to speak, then I have to take a look at, okay, well, here's what remnants are left of the old system. Now, how do I implement this particular system, or how do we tweak it back and forth so that we can work in an interim way and then eventually go to the ultimate way of purchasing and selling homes? You know, that's a whole industry that needs to change. That's obvious. Yeah.
That's,
right?
That's something that I did look at, and I spoke to the Irish Assembly about one of the ideas was an angel financial services. And that would be a positive to help people to move away from that corrupt system and plus look at affordable homes as well.
Yeah, well, interim-wise, just to give you kind of a glimpse at what the new system will look like, each individual person has their own, let's just say, fund, right?
Yeah.
That they can draw from. Now, that being said, there is only so much what I call dead money that can come into the system on any given day or at any given time. So for every new production line you create in a particular currency, such as euro, you can allow for a certain amount of dead money. So buying an existing home is considered dead new money. Okay, because it's not creating a new demand.
Yeah,
that's an existing demand. So the only thing that KIMS will do and is currently doing, it's monitoring how much dead money can come into the system on any given day.
Okay.
So that being said, if Alan wants to go out and buy a 25 million euro home, that's probably not going to be permitted or would have to be done over a period of time because that's too much dead money to go out to one human in one day.
Yeah.
So where I said in the news recently, yesterday, well, Sunny said, I should say, but through myself was that, you know, the KIMS system is going to say, listen, you know, 10 people are going to go not be able to buy their home if you buy this home. Are you sure you really want to do this? So it's going to, you're going to be accountable to yourself and to the others in your nation.
Yeah,
does
no,
that make sense?
No,
to you?
Totally. Liam?
Yeah, no, I just agree with that. No, I think it's a great explanation. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That makes sense. At least you were accountable then to the where, if there's a certain amount of money that you're only allowed to spend, then obviously you are accountable and it has to be transparent as well on where that money's going to go and what's the best way to use it. You know, to regarding, you know, mortgages and stuff like that. You know, that makes sense. Okay, next question. If the present banking system falls, can KIMS system enable each one of us registered in the Hall of Records become our own bank, i.e. person-to-person transactions?
The global repository is recorded in the Hall of Records currently. It is currently the backbone system for the existing banking system. It is not connected constantly nor directly to the money supply. So it's like the middleman, so to speak. We've been working on calibrating that system with money supply systems in the back. So to answer your question, on the highest level of banking and the back office and compliance, they are all aware it's there. They know that the KIMS, because there's two KIMS systems now, the Key Monetary System and Key Integrated Monetary System 2. One runs the supply chain for new money, and the other one is your monitoring system and your analytics system. To protect the current value of currency, even though currency is technically tied to shiny rocks, various shiny rocks, it is still dependent on supply and demand to maintain values. And those values are set to change over the course of several years. Because we can't have an inflationary situation, you know, to where people can't afford to buy food. So, and then, of course, the food suppliers, as an example, will just keep increasing prices as we increase wages, as we increase.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to make sure that, you know, we're not feeding the very people we're trying to get away from until we have the new structure in place on how people are going to receive food on their table, from farm to table, so to speak.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Liam, do you want to add to that?
No, nothing to add to that. I'll be with it.
Okay, cool. These are kind of, a lot of these are banking questions, unfortunately, but another one. Can Kim do anything to protect the bank accounts of the truckers and their supporters from interference from the banks and governments? I take it it's got to do with Canada.
Okay.
Are they getting interference?
Well, they had to go GoFundMe.
Yeah, they are.
And they shut shut the GoFundMe down, didn't they?
Okay.
They did. And then they used that almost like, you remember the Q system, the Kushner thing, where they were sourcing out American patriots that would be against the establishment, so to speak. They used the GoFundMe campaigns to do the exact same thing. And then they started tracing those donors back and shutting down their bank accounts. This was going on last week. The government is supposed to make an announcement that they're going to refund that money. Now, where that money actually went to black operations in the United States being run by the Lone Ranger. So some of it went to the military. Some of it went to fund this ridiculous bond scam they were trying to run just a couple days ago. Are they going to return that money? I don't know. Are they supposed to? Yes. Are they supposed to stop shutting down bank accounts? Yes, as well. The trucker convoy, as patriotic as they were, I said on the news a few weeks ago, and then I also said in a Life Force call that General Milley in the U.S. was looking for a way to create nationalism to get people to willingly donate to the U.S. military and to the militaries of the world, right? Mm. So that's essentially what the trucker convoy was used for. It created a sense of nationalism, a sense of something everyone could get behind, no more mandates. And then they let them collect so much money, they declared martial law and seized all the funds. It was all for the money. Mm. Sadly enough, same thing will happen here in the U.S. Actually put out a news report on that as well, as to not start a trucker convoy and give them a reason to declare martial law and implement U.N. troops on U.S. soil, which is what the plan absolutely has been from the beginning, not only in the U.S., but also in the Ukraine. And in Russia, declare martial law, and then get the UN to take over the entire world. So the UN just realized a couple of days ago, even though we've been saying it for years, that they no longer have a charter. They are not a sovereign, and they have no right to hold a standing army. That is an enforceable item. We will start to enforce that should that happen again in the near future, once we watch the cookie cutter process take place in Canada. So unfortunately, you have to think, right?
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm asking everyone to start thinking what happens next. Before you start a trucker convoy, before you do these things, I understand everyone is angry. I'm just as angry as you are over the ridiculousness that has fallen upon us in the last 2 years. But I have to ask you to think.
Yeah.
Think about how they're going to come against you. If nothing else, I've been talking now for a few years very regularly, and I'm trying my best to teach all of you what I have learned by default, not because I went to school and not because I was trained by anyone. Unfortunately, I wasn't. I just started having to think because it meant my own survival, and it means all our survival. So I'm asking you to think before you do these things. There's better ways of counteracting the deep state agendas.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm going to pop over to the questions from the chat room now, because there is more questions, but And there was a few sent over from an individual, and I just want to give everybody a chance to have a put a question over. So the question I have, first question from the chat room, is a question from Joan. With mass psychosis being the order of the day, how does Kim and Liam see it being dealt with?
We, our group, the GPRC group, think tank group, has been thinking about that every single day. We have been sending out some frequencies to counterbalance theirs recently. You've probably felt 1 minute you're angry and you're frustrated and everybody around you is going crazy. And then the next minute, everything seems to feel calmer, or in about an hour, you know. You probably feel like you're on your own version of a roller coaster, even if you're sensitive to those energies, because we have, there has been a push and pull. As far as the people, we do have on board on the GPRC a very well-versed psychologist who, every time we mention like bringing out a new technology or changing something, you know, that person will pipe in and say, hey, you know, think about this. Think about how the people would receive that. And so you've got to back it down a little bit, and then maybe we let a little bit out at a time, right?
Yep. Totally agree.
I'm not as concerned about disclosing the past as I am about bringing in the future in a way that will make everybody feel comfortable and understand and accept the progress and the changes, new medical treatments, new technologies. That's our main concern. And so this person is the voice of reason oftentimes and comes in and goes, wait a minute, you are going to trigger the entire people to think this, right? Oh, right. So we then take a step back and say, you're right. Okay. We also have an ethics counsel, an international lawyer that is on our staff, and that person has been advising on ethical situations, potential legal issues that may arise from doing certain things. So we have, like I said, a wide array of persons from different industries and different parts of the world coming together to make these changes in a way that isn't going to make the masses go into shock.
Yeah, definitely. It has to be gradual. Liam, talking about energies, definitely, Kim, I'm feeling it, and I'm sure a lot of people are feeling the changes in energy. And sometimes you're feeling down, sometimes you're feeling euphoric, and everything in between. Liam, you're probably picking up on this as well, being sensitive. What's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. As I say, I know when certain things are happening, and if it wasn't for what Kevin and the team are doing, trying to sort of dumb these down and balance them out and put some opposing frequencies in, we would all be getting round and twisty. Even the people that are awake, you know, it really has been powerful recently. But we have to be very careful in how we bring things forward. As Kevin says, some amazing people coming forward, advising us and saying, hey, just hold on, you can't do that yet, or you need to do that gradually. We have to really think about that with people and just start introducing them. As the more we talk about technologies, the more, you know, just bring it through as the media would do, you know, using the media of us. They introduce us to all sorts of different things, usually for the negative. But we could use the same thing in a powerful way. Just saying, hey, this is powerful. Doing, you know, maybe a little bit of PR on some new technology. And, oh, yeah, that is possible to produce a huge amount of power for a very little amount of cost and things like that. Just bring people into it gradually. You know, I mean, can you imagine what it's going to be like? I probably should be saying this just a bit. Trying to introduce people to the fact that there's so much more life out there, you know. And a lot of the people on this call will understand that and believe that already. But, you know, 90% or 95% of the populations, you know, don't know whether there's any more life out there or not, because the way we've been programmed and controlled, it's a big thing. We have to think about how are we going to introduce people very gradually to the fact that there's other life. You know, we're talking about other life out there. There's other life here within us, you know, so many other species on this planet. You know, just freak most people out. So we have to really think about how do we introduce that? How do we gradually bring it in and not make them you know, start worshipping them and being their new gods and all the rest of it. They have to, you know, bring it in a way that, you know, these others are just equal to us, and we have to work with them, and you know, and vice versa. You know, so yeah, I think we have to be very, very careful around this psychology period, and we have to remember where we are in comparison to some other people. You know, people are pretty awake, and you know that you've got to bear in mind that a lot of people are just starting this process. So we have to be careful around it.
Yeah, definitely. It's what I always say. Everybody's on a path of knowledge, and some people are further down the road than others. And we shouldn't be arrogant if we are further down the road, because people will be, they'll deal with the things that they're awake to. So if people are at the stage where they're just waking up to the fact of the dangers of fluoride, for example, the last thing you want to do is give them stuff from Area 51, because they'll just think you're a nutter. So we have to be respectful of their the path they're on, and the level they're on that path, and speak to them on that level until they gradually open up and start going down the rabbit holes. And I've said this numerous times, again, apply some psychology and be considerate for where they're at. Because some people go, oh, you're awake, let me show you this, and they're just not ready for that stuff. So you have to take it easy. Okay, question. Sorry, go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, and absolutely, we have to be careful with that. And how much of the past do people do really need to know? And how much benefit is that going to be? There's some horrible, horrible things as we know has happened on this planet and within the planet for a very, very long time. You know, people need to have an understanding of some of that. But as Kim is saying, it's more about the future, where we're going, you know. The past is the past, you know, leave it where it belongs in the past. You know, it'd be great if we could draw a line in the sand and move forward now. But we have to be very careful of what we're bringing forward to the people as well, because it's so mind-boggling and so far out with the belief structure because of the programming I've had over the years. So, yeah, I just said, you know, we need to be careful about what we share. Do people really need to know everything about the past? If they want to, yeah, I think they've got the right to know that, but I think it would traumatise the majority of people.
I think we have to be very careful with mental health, definitely.
I just want to add one more thing to that. You know, not only are they traumatised, what I see a lot happening is, oh, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. There's no way I you know, anybody could possibly lie to me, because I'm awake and aware, and I'm this and I'm that, and I am repeatedly. Right. And so then they turn their aggression towards the truth teller. Okay. Mm. It's not your truth. Okay. But I see that a lot too. They become very angry and hostile when their bubble is burst, right? Their truth bubble that they live in, like, this is my truth bubble. I believe this person is this, and this person would never cheat on their wife, or their wife would never cheat on their husband. And I'm living, going to church, and I'm doing all these things, and I'm going to live in my bubble. Right.
Yeah.
And then when you figure out everything you're eating has been designed specifically for you to make sure that you have cellular degeneration at the probable rate, in order to avoid population growth on a deeply underpopulated planet, you know, you get so angry. People tend to get so angry.
Yeah.
Right now. And they want to turn that anger on someone. They need someone to blame. And oftentimes it's the person telling them the truth. Mm. Well, I'm a good person. I do all these great things every single day. I've heard that a lot recently too. And I'm like, well, now wait a minute. You know, you might do 10 great things, but then you do 15 things that hurt people every day. And then they get very angry with you. Mm. And I'm like, how can you say you're here for a better world? You're here for the mission. You're here to do a job. And then out of the other side of your mouth, you know, you create negativity. Mm. Penny Kelly put out a video. I think it's the 10th in her series that talks about the truth. And she's 100% correct in what she's saying. Mm. You know, you say you want to ascend to 5D, yet people there don't use money. They don't do this. They don't talk negative. They don't perpetuate negative news. They don't do all of these things that you do every single day. And yet some people just will never see past that.
Yeah. Well, they always say negative news travels faster. Well, I totally agree on that. I mean, again, to bore people who are regular listeners, the fluid belief system, number one, has to apply. If your belief system is fluid, then it takes the ego out of the equations. And number two, you know, people apply, as you say, sometimes they're in the truth bubble and they have cognitive dissonance. So even truthers, sometimes they're the hardest people to wake up. Because you think being a truther, they'd be awake to things, but sometimes they've invested so much time in a certain genre or area that when you challenge that area, they just won't accept it. And you think, but you don't have a fluid belief system. You have to be able to change as new information comes in that challenges what you believe.
Yes.
You know, and this is...
I agree.
I've been going on about this for years and we've done seminars on it. And if people want to see it, the seminar, it's up on the OIM YouTube channel if you want to, you know, get some psychology regarding that. Anyway, let's get on with the questions. And this is going to be one for you and Kim. I'll pass this off to Liam first. And it says, question, is Kim and Liam aware of advanced technologies that will soon, particularly energy devices for home use, so we can move away from cities? Sorry, a bit disjointed on the question there. But you know, this is what they're saying about the free energy devices for home use.
Are we aware of them? Absolutely, Alan. As you know, yeah. I've been working, we've got a lab built here, we've been working on with many, many inventors around the world and all sorts of different technologies. And I think I'm only seeing, barely scratching the surface. The reason I've seen these technologies is more about thinking about how do you deploy them? How do you, you know, do that in an ethical way? How do you create businesses that are a cooperative type model? All these different things that we've been working on over the long time. And I think that's why we've seen these technologies. Now, how do you engage with inventors? How do you reward them? How do you share it? How do you not make it all about making money? So there's a number of it's forced us to think in many different ways. But yeah, there's many technologies are coming. I think, to be honest, the real technologies that are coming, the real advanced stuff, it was so hard for people to get their head around. You know, so again, as Kim was saying, we're going to have a stepping stone with these technologies. So bringing out a device that has no input, but, a 50 kilowatt output, or say a 15 kilowatt output, and it'll run your home, great, or it'll run your car, and you never need to charge your car again. That's going to be very difficult for people to get their head around. So we have to do this in stepping stones. I have witnessed some technologies, and I wouldn't have believed them unless I've seen them physically working myself. And I'm pretty open to these things, so it must be quite difficult for other people. But yes, the technology is there. And as Kim has said before, you know, we are going to trade. You know, we're sharing technologies with other civilizations. We're going to be able to tap into these things and introduce them into this world if it makes sense. And as long as we're not killing one another with it and it doesn't get in the hands of the wrong people and used for the wrong purposes, the technologies will be a huge part of the change going forward. It's going to be a huge part of getting to the stage where we don't need money. You know, money is just a nightmare. It's one of the most horrible creations ever. I believe 10 to 15 years, and, you know, if we can work together in the right way, we don't need money. But a big part of that is the technologies, for sure.
Brilliant. Kim, do you want to comment on that?
You know, I agree with Liam. You know, technologies are important. We also have to remember we are an amazing technology unto ourselves, too. We have so much potential as a race. You know, we are manifestors. And I don't think anybody really truly understands, you know, if you need power, you can power the house. If you need, you know, it can be done all with your person. You know, they powered entire suns off the louche that they stole from us all those years, right?
Yeah.
You don't think you can't power a home, a singular person or a family? Mm. Of course you can. You know, everybody looks at devices. But if I were to focus on one thing to change the world right now, it would be the people. Now, we're going, as people continue to wake up, people are going to go through a period of starting to doubt everything and everyone. teaching people to listen to their higher self, teaching people how to connect with source is going to become increasingly important as we go forward. Because, you know, sending out these frequencies only does so much, right?
Okay.
To keep people stable.
Yeah.
But think about, you know, just from this conversation we've all had together today, you know, for 2 hours, I'm hoping people walk away with this going, I never thought of the world like that. But every time you want to utter something negative or some kind of an issue in the world, it's fine to identify issues as long as you're identifying a solution at the same time.
Yeah,
we have to maintain balance, even if it's not the optimal solution, but it might be a great interim step at some point, right?
I would say tonight, hopefully people will take away from this podcast and this show is that when somebody comes to you with a problem, put it back to them and go, give me 3 solutions. And if they just take that away tonight to get people to start thinking for themselves and not asking everybody else to come up with a solution, get them thinking about it.
Yep. Definitely. And hey, you know, think about it this way, okay? Well, we just talked about powering homes in a whole new way, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Now, yes, they've risen the price of lumber or wood or whatever you decide to call it to build homes, but I can build an amazing mansion out of weeds.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. We all know about that, and it's actually fire retardant. It does, you know, it's an insulator. It does a lot of different things. And I can – weeds grow like weeds, right? That's why we have that saying, growing like a weed. You know, I can get multiple growing seasons. I can do all sorts of things with weeds. And I'm saying it as weeds for a reason. But people will know what that means. And maybe that's a great interim solution. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the best way to build a home, but it's an interim solution for sure.
Yeah, I would just add to the idea of the technology. You know, there are people who are quite happy to, if you just tell them, you know, you don't have to get technical, but there, you know, there's people out there who don't need to know how electricity works to use a hairdryer. Okay, they're not really interested how the electricity works.
Yeah.
They just know that they plug the hairdryer in and I can dry my hair. And if people ask, you could say, oh, well, it's powered by a flux capacitor. They'd be happy with that and they'll go ahead and use it. So not everybody is going to be questioning free energy technology. They just want to know that when I plug in the kettle, it goes, switches on and it works. So just,
and by the way, do I have to pay for it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's it. So,
if so, who do I pay? That's all they want to know.
Yeah. So, they're the best people probably to give the technology to, because they're not really interested in how it works. They don't want to know. They just want to know that it works and, you know, do I have to pay any money? So I think that's the other side of the coin as well. Right. Next question. Now, I'm looking at the time. We are coming very close to the top of the hour and I have a few questions left. How are you guys feeling for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Yeah?
No problem.
Okay. So Susie has a question and it just really got to do with the assembly again. Very quickly, you can answer this. Are the assemblies keeping the committee structure as it stands?
I don't think they need to at the moment, Alan. You know, as Kim said, there's a place for the assemblies going forward. Don't worry about the structure at the moment. Worry about needs assessment, build them together as a team. If that team's not working, break away, you know, create your own team. Even if you're just one of a team, doesn't really matter. But we don't need a structure in there at the moment. That is creating a lot of the problems. It's certainly what I've seen is creating a huge amount of problems. It won't in the future. There is a place for it in the future. So you don't need to worry about that. Everybody's an equal plane, you know, equal footing here. Just move on. Think about the solutions and the issues and the problems, the need assessments. That's the only thing that matters.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and stop focusing on the oppressed becoming the oppressor.
Yeah. I would like to add to this, and I don't know, this is off the top of the head. Look, there are people who get on with each other and they have, you know, similar energies, and there's other people who won't get on for whatever reason. And that's just life. Again, it goes back to the 33%, 33%, 33%. So I would, my opinion on that would be to say, look, if you're in an assembly and for whatever reason your energies aren't gelling, then if you go off and gel with people who you do get on with and then put a plan together between them people, and then that's probably the best way. Then that means you're working with people that have similar energies. So instead of having a big falling out with each other, just you can just say, well, look, I'm going to leave the assembly, or I'm going to do my own thing now that, you know, plans have changed. And then just go and do your own thing, whether you're an individual or whether you resonate with somebody else in the assembly, and two of you go off and do your own thing. You know, there's no kind of, you know, right way to do it. It just, the main thing is to make sure that you're working together in a constructive way and putting the plan together that's going to help humanity. So whether that's the people in the assembly, or if you split up and do your own thing, as long as you're aiming for the same goal and you do a needs assessment, then I think that would kind of work. What do you think of that?
Totally agree.
Well, in the rule of thumb here is, if we could get 3% of the world at least communicating with each other on this level with this same thought process, that's it. We've won.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, totally. And I think maybe that's the one way to look at it, because, you know, we don't get on with a lot of people. And I know there's people out there psychologically to put on a persona, you know, especially if they're insecure, or they have low self-esteem, and they put on this, you know, fake personality because they want people to like them. We have to stop doing that. We have to become ourselves and just realize that we won't get on with everybody. So, you know, I know it's a kind of cliche, but when you vibe with your tribe and you meet people who resonate with the same energy, then try and do that and work together, because then it's going to be more constructive and positive anyway. And again, you've now broken down the assemblies to say, look, you know, go off and do your own thing. I think there's more of a positive thing going on there, and it's more achievable that way, the way Kim and Liam, both of you have decided to do that, rather than kind of forcing people, but people come into the assembly and sometimes you don't get on, there's infighting and stuff like that. So now they have the choice to go off and do their own thing and vibe with people who are on the same frequency as themselves. And I think that has more of a chance of being successful.
Totally agree. And, you know, and it also allows, in the short term, you've got to really think about different cultures. Someone of the people we're chatting to a lot understands a lot about some of the tribes and various different things around the world. You know, you have to be very careful of what's already there and respectful of what's there. So in the short term, as we're building a slightly different structure, that allows for all of that. So nobody's, we're not standing on anybody's toes, so to speak. Everybody's free to do what they want to do. Everybody's got an equal voice. So please use it.
Cool. Okay. Right, question from Jim. Can you give an update on the balance of control with Cabal and likelihood of a banking collapse in the short term? Kim?
It's literally, for the last couple of months, been 15 to 18 hours a day. And it's not just about computer viruses and installing of softwares to monitor this and monitor that, and vaccine monitors and whatnot. I mean, that's part of it. And yes, we do that with our day too. But also, it's so much more than that. You know, on the flip side of it, we are looking at the power from the top down, let's say, departing. We have governments out there that have dead presidents all over the place right now. People are wearing masks or doppelgangers or whatnot. Even some former presidents. I'll just leave it at that for now. But again, your personal power is something that you should covet. You should realize that every single second you spend looking at a video or watching another person, or say this president's coming back and that president's leaving and this cabal member, look at what the cabal's doing. You've just given away your power and you've made the cabal more powerful. It's all about energy, frequencies, plasma. If you were to imagine us all, you know, we think we're just swimming in air, right? We're walking on, sorry about that. We're walking on the land and, you know, this just air. It's not air. We're all interconnected. It's like being in the ocean. When you make a ripple, the person beside you feels it. They feel your energy, positive or negative. And when you direct your energy, like, for example, say a head of state is giving a speech and you're watching it. It doesn't matter if you have a positive feeling or a negative feeling about it. The fact of the matter is they're still absorbing your frequency. They're still absorbing your energy. So how powerful is the cabal right now? How powerful are you making them in your Telegram chats and in your postings on blogs and whatnot? How powerful are you making them? Because, you know, leadership and control structures are mind over matter. If you don't mind, they don't matter.
Hmm. Okay. So just be careful of your energy, and be careful what you focus on, and be careful of what you think. Don't let the cabal rent space in your mind.
Exactly. And as far as banking systems and whatnot are concerned, there are fail-safe plans in place.
Okay, so that's good to know. Liam, do you want to add to that?
No, totally agree with that, though.
Okay, we'll have just two more questions that we'll do, because I know you two are very, very busy. So we'll get these two questions here. Jim wants to know, are either Kim or Liam aware of any treatment that reverses the jab?
There is some stuff. I think Kim and one of the teams has been working on that. I'll let Kim speak about that.
There are a few different protocols that the Global Health and Wellness Consortium has put together. I would suggest you reach out. They do have some Telegram chats where you can ask questions. I do know that I think if they have not already, they're planning on putting some protocols on the Global Health and Wellness website to try to help people as we go through this process. Most of the issues with them will arise within 3 to 4 months of your the major issues, I should say, would arise within 3 to 4 months after your final or the person's final shot, so to speak. After that, their power kind of wanes, so to speak.
Okay.
But yes, there are some protocols that the Global Health and Wellness Consortium has put together.
Brilliant. Okay. And the next question will be from Paula H. And she wants to know, what is the future of agriculture?
What we're going to make it. So agriculture.
Well, okay. It's a very long subject, but I'll give you a general idea on a conversation I had with the GPRC team. Okay, so first we have to look at food supply chains, right? So let's reverse engineer this. We want everybody to have food, right? That's where we start. Maybe in the future we don't even need it, but for now we need it as well as we enjoy it. Okay, so how does our food get from one place to another? Why are we shipping food around the world? This is ridiculous. Part of the reason for preservatives and all of these other things is because we don't have proper ways of preserving food, and it travels too far of a distance. That's number one. Number two, optimal success in various regions where food is currently not grown for one reason or another. Usually that's a cabal control system. But in some cases, you know, it's damaged lands. How do we restore that soil? Then you have, you can add into it proper PSI fields. Proper PSI fields in a microclimate can actually have multiple growing seasons. Food grows larger, faster, and more nutritious, right?
Yeah.
So the future of agriculture is indeed what we make it, but knowing your options is more important, and completely revamping the entire way food is transported from farm to table is extremely important. As we develop, do we want to have canopy cities? Do we want to have cities that are raised up with farmland underneath? So if you're going to a grocery, you know, are you buying it or at a much lower cost because it's right underneath the store every single day? That's always an option too. So we have a lot of different things that we can look at on the future of our food supply, which I believe is what you're asking me about.
And again, I think there's going to be stepping stones to that. We can use technology, you know, again, more technology that I've seen myself. We talk about the atmospheric water thing. We could be making shipping containers with using atmospheric water. That could be put anywhere in the world with a little simple basic solar panel, so that can be used for a very small amount of power. There's another product we looked at, and there's a few variations of this, but one of them is called Sun on Demand. And it's a type of light, and the frequencies of the gamma rays, or whatever the right term is, I'm not sure, have to be the full spectrum. And then the food grows with the right nutrients in it, you know, 10 times the nutrients of anything that's grown currently, you know. So these things, as a stepping stone to the proper ways of farming, whether it be synthropic farming or various other methods. And there's loads and loads of different methods that are going to be needed in different ways, as Kim says. You know, how do we move food around? There is technology out there of how to, it's not freezing the food, but it's drying the food in a certain way. It only loses about 2% of its nutrients over 25 years. These things have been suppressed. There's lots and lots of things we could be doing. But I think a stepping stone will be using some of the technology until we restore the soils and restore the biotic pumps from the trees that should be along the coastlines. They naturally bring in water and things like that. So until we get that education out there and understand that, I think we'll be using, again, a stepping stone of technology. But it's such a massive subject with the farming, but it does need to change. You know, farmers everywhere, it's been depleted and depleted and depleted, you know, but there's so much can be done around that.
I think people have to...
And then we have an air issue too.
Oh yeah, yeah, that as well, yeah, that needs to be sorted. I think, you know, overall, everything that's going on, I think people have to remember that this is not a 100-meter dash, it's a marathon. And we have to take our time, get things right, get the infrastructure right, and then roll it out gradually. Because again, the issue, we, as you mentioned, Liam and Kim, is that you can't just bring out free technology. What's going to happen to all them people working in the current system? There has to be a gradual transition over, and we have to do it and structure it in a way that nobody loses out and everybody's considered. And that's why it's going to take time, probably 20 to 30 years to do what we need to do, because everything, the five pillars of society have all been damaged, which is politics, religion, finance, the medical side, and the food. And I'm sure there's probably a few other things that, you know, we could throw in there as well. And all them need to be addressed. And we just need the people to come on board and help and put some plans together and put a structure together so we can actually move on. But it's going to take time, I think. I'd just like to thank both Kim and Liam for coming on the show tonight and giving us a heads up, an update on everything that's going on. I know so many people were emailing me and going, oh, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this, to the podcast, to get an update and information. And, you know, we've never done anything like this in the world. I don't think anything like this has happened before in the world. So it's suck it and see. We're going to be learning. Mistakes are going to be made. But at least we're trying. I don't know about you, Kim and Liam, but I really have zero tolerance for barroom politicians. I now look at people and I look at their energy and I go, you know, loads of people can talk because talk is cheap. It doesn't take energy. I'm interested in the people who are the doers. The people who are doing things, definitely, I'm happy to work with them. But if you're just going to sit on a bar stool and just talk about something without doing it, or you're going to bitch about people who are actually doing things, then I'm not going to waste my time with them people because they're never going to do anything. So, and I think that's the important thing. It's, you know, getting the people who are the doers, who want to get involved and do things, and who will take the energy to do it. That's, I think, the important thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I agree with you. I don't think, you know, and it's okay. You know, I have a lot of people that have left. You know, people have their own opinions of who I am and what I do. You know, opinions now probably of Liam and what he does and Alan of you, right?
Yeah.
And that's great. But it doesn't change the fact that I got up at 2:30 this morning, handled an alarm issue, and then went on to have conversations with people that are in militaries that are just figuring out that the Ukraine thing was a stage. You know, and they're going to respond to something that they saw in the news. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Since I've been on this call, I missed a call from the Pentagon, probably about Ukraine. I don't know. I told them I'd be unavailable for 2 hours. So I'll answer that call when I get off, you know. And then on top of that, you just listen to a small snippet of the conversations the GPRC council is having. A small, tiny bit. When you asked about agriculture and you asked about water and you asked about options, this is what for 15 to 18 hours we do every single day. We were on a conversation the other day and someone had been up for almost 24 hours straight and fell asleep on the call. This is how hard we work, right?
Yeah.
And I don't need to justify that to anyone, nor do I ever intend to justify that to anyone. So if someone wants to sit on a bar stool and complain, they can do that. It's free will. However, don't expect me to sit beside you because I just don't have time.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. Liam, do you want to add to that?
Hey, yeah, it was me that fell asleep, Nicole.
I said someone. I covered for you.
Alan knows. Alan's experienced that before.
I was going to say, is that the second time you've done it?
That's the second time, man. Yeah, absolutely. you know, I'm just a few, if we're wrapping up, a few final words, you know, I was just saying, everyone, you know, stop giving, as we're saying, every time you look at what's wrong, you're focusing on the news, you're focusing anything negative, we're giving it energy. We're giving it, you know, life. So stop doing that. Stop looking at what's wrong. Just look at solutions. Try and change your thinking to solutions, you know. And a big thing for people just now is the inner work. The way the energy is changing the world, and it's been rapidly changing for a long time, we are being forced to do our inner work. And without doing that inner work, without clearing things from our past, so many people are resisting it. It's just going to come back in a very different format, and you will have to deal with it, whether you like it or not. That's just nature taking its course. So just try and do that work. Try and deal with these things, because it's going to put you in such a different place. And again, focus on where we're going. You know, visualize the perfect world, whatever that is to you, never mind anybody else. You know, what does your perfect world look like? You know, scribble on a vision board, scribble it down. But if people just focus on it and think about it, we're putting that out there, we're putting the energy into that. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's written down or not, you know, but, you know, just focus on the positive outcome. What would my perfect world look like? And, you know, and chat about it, you know, what would that be like if we could create anything we want and we can, you know, what would that look like? Do you know, there's one of the things, it was just a little song thing. It's not a song, it crops up with me. And I think I listen to it quite regularly. And it's called Think Differently, Your World Within. I think it's something Kim's going to use shortly in a video. I would say to people, look that up, listen to it a few times, Think Differently, Your World Within. Play it over and over and over again because there's so much truth in it. We have to think differently. We can't just follow the crowds because we'll get the same as we've always had before. We need to look at things in a very different way. And that every single person does that, and you everybody thinks, well, I'm only one person. Well, that one person is extremely, extremely powerful. You know, stop looking to everybody else to save you, or Kim, or you know, the team, or anybody else. It just look at yourself. You know, what can we do? What can you? And the more you focus your energy, the more it's helping everyone. So I just want to put that out there and say, yo, forget what's negative. Let's look at the positivity. We're in such an amazing position to create this new world. And this new world is coming. You know, there's been a lot of people have seen insights into the new world. As Kim says, Penny Kelly, you know, puts a lot of good stuff out. I would highly recommend listening to her stuff. I've had my own experiences as well. Another person called Alison Coe that does the QHHT sessions. All those sessions are very similar to what this new world looks like. But we still have to create it, you know, and what do we want it to look like? So I'd really push for that for everyone.
I agree. And I'd like to add to this that if people are the barroom politicians or the turnaround and they're having a bitch, take out the mirror and put it up to them and say, what are you doing? What are you doing to make a difference? Because so many people can be very judgmental because it's less energy to be judgmental. And I have said that in the past. When I hear people moaning, I go, what are you doing? What are you doing to make a difference? And they shut up straight away because chances are they're probably doing nothing.
Well, what they're doing is they spend their entire day searching through the internet to find one negative tidbit on Alan or one negative tidbit on Kim or one negative tidbit on Liam. And then they just run with it. They're like, oh, I've got success because I found a negative thought. Wow. You're just a great person all around. But I'm sure there's a group of people that like to do that all day long. So that's your tribe over there.
Oh, okay, brilliant stuff. Now, folks, before I let you go, do you want to give out any contact details, any information where people can find you and get in touch with you and baddie, baddie, ba?
No, Alan, if anybody really needs to get hold of me, they'll find the right channels.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, folks. Right. Kim, do you want to give out, is there any website that you want to give out in particular?
Sure. We have, for updates, we do put out news, real news every single day, mostly Monday through Friday. Then, of course, we have a lot of our original series. You had mentioned earlier about The Inner Child and No Ego. There is our new series called Unbroken with Max. And sometimes that's Max and Mike. And they chat about a lot of this stuff. So if you want to take a look at that, that would be great. You can find it on www.unitednetwork.news. If you are looking for us, you can find us on Telegram. We have several Telegram channels. We have a Life Force General chat that I pop in and out of a few times a week whenever I can to answer some questions. And you can find me most of the time. I'll be broadcasting on UnitedNetwork.news. We will be having a new GPRC website with a whole process flow on it that should be coming out and within the next week or so. And it's currently almost finished. And that's pretty much where you can find myself.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Kim, Liam, a big thank you for coming on. I know you're very busy, so thanks for your time. I'm going to finish up the show now because we are over the time. I just want to say that my guest on the show next week is a chap called Mark Brzezinski. He's an international speaker, he's an author and a spiritual teacher. And that's going to be interesting. Mark does a lot of spiritual work, positive spiritual work. So we'll get Mark on. For myself, Kim and Liam, have a good week. Take it easy. Stay safe. If you have any news, any information that's relevant, any good news, any positive news, send an email over to contact us at circleofwhitelight.com. And so I'm going to leave you with this song. And this song is, I heard it first on United Network News where Kim and Tank actually played it. And it's the one got to do with We Are the People We've Been Waiting For. So I'm going to play this song and then we'll see you next week. So good night from me. Good night from Kim and good night from Liam.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Brilliant stuff. Take care, folks. Take care and have a good week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
million volts in a pool of light. Electricity in the room tonight. Born from fire, sparks flying from the sun. Hey, I hardly know you, can I confess? I feel your heart beating in my chest. If you come with me, tonight is gonna be the one. Cause you fail and no fear for the fight. You pull hope from defeat in the night. There's an image of you in my mind. Could be mad, but you might just be right. Heart that works from a broken place. That's where the victory's won. Cause you fail, no fear for the fight. You pull hope from defeat in the night. There's an image of you in my mind. Could be mad, but you might just be right.
Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.